Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It is a Friday. We have a lot to discuss. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. Jordan Schultz for Jay Mack today from Bleacher Report. He is an NFL insider, and we loved having you on a couple weeks ago. You crushed it. We're having you back. This is an interesting time of the year. So draft, everybody. Now, a lot of the stuff out there right now, Jordan, is false information. People are throwing stuff out there. You know this. I remember years ago Mel Kiper telling me he never got more manipulated than the last week before the draft. Everybody's sending out stuff. NBA playoffs have already sort of begun with a play-in. Tomorrow, Lakers, Nuggets. So you picked a good time to come back to the show.
I'm thrilled to be back. What did Bill Belichick say? It's not until the final 12 hours that you really get the actual information that matters, that's correct. And that can still mean you're getting manipulated the final 12 hours, but that's when the best information comes out. So until then, it's lying season.
Yeah, lying season. So LeBron James and the Lakers, primetime tomorrow night, start their series against Denver. So, you know, Denver's the preemptive favorite. They swept the Lakers last year in the Western Conference Finals. So when I suggested a week ago, you know, maybe the Lakers could rest LeBron AD in that first game and, you know, end up facing Oklahoma City, who they match up with really well and had beaten several times this year. Instead of Denver, oh, Colin, you can't duck. Yeah, you can. You can do that. There are better matchups. But it wasn't just about losing the series potentially to Denver. It's about the repercussions of losing the series to Denver. LeBron has options after the year, and right now he's easily the team's best playmaker, like easily. So LeBron's career has always been under a microscope. We all know that. So he gets swept by Denver, and then he gets swept again by Denver. And D'Angelo Russell again has a mediocre to bad series. What's the fallout for the Lakers? What's the fallout for LeBron? Because Denver's not going anywhere. They're still pretty young, a lot of players in their prime, and I think Jokic is actually getting more efficient. And LeBron, if they get swept or lose in five, is going to say to himself, oh, let's see here. We don't match out. We can't beat them. They have more players in their prime. I'm getting older. What's the fallout for that? He's going to say to himself, I need a new coach. Start over again. I need new teammates outside of AD. So Oklahoma City would have been different. If you beat Oklahoma City in a 6-7 game series, regardless of what happens after, there would be hope. There would be optimism in a year that ends and LeBron has options. LeBron would be saying, we can live with Darvin Ham. I like this roster. Maybe move D'Lo. We just need tweaks. That's a different offseason than getting swept again or losing in five to Denver. And now, the upside to getting whacked by the Nuggets is it may force Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss to absolutely have to go get Trae Young for Atlanta, regardless of what you have to give up. So there is a ray of sunshine if you get clobbered, and I think the Lakers match out with Denver, but I don't see him closing out games in this series. But there's going to be repercussions here if you get swept again. And LeBron's got all sorts of options. And Draymond Green loves him and hangs out with him and vacations with him. And Steph Curry and Klay Thompson could certainly use another KG veteran to score 24 points. Steph needs somebody next to him that consistently can score 23 to 24. Yeah, I think that's LeBron. So it's not just facing Denver and losing again. What are the repercussions of that? I think they're substantial, with the only good side being you get whacked and Trae Young is absolutely a Laker next year because Jeannie and Rob Pelinka know LeBron will put the heat on him. That's what he does. So as the draft, the lying season, as Jordan calls it, George Payton told The Athletic, great subscription service, that the Denver Broncos may move up and take a big swing. And, you know, it's interesting about the NFL. It's such a situational league. So we all knew this. You know this too. Most of the time, Andrew Luck being an exception, you're about as good as where you land. Do you get the right coach, the right coordinator, the right O-line? You're as good as where you land. Virtually nobody can overcome nonsense. So that's very true, and we all know it. But here's something else. Even if you're a great coach, you have to get a top quarterback or you get fired. Pete Carroll loses Russell Wilson in his prime. Pete Carroll before Russell Wilson in his prime, been fired 3 times. Andy Reid got fired. Bill Belichick went from GOAT to inept. So not only do quarterbacks have to land in the right spot, coaches have to get the right quarterback so they get fired. So we know Sean Payton's a good coach. So think about this. Not only were the Saints 3-13 before he arrived there, but the New Orleans Saints had one playoff win in 39 years before Sean Payton. He arrived in 15 years. They won the division half the time, 7 times. We know he can coach. He's probably the best play caller with Andy Reid in the sport in a decade. But when he took this Broncos gig, and I remember it because he and I were talking a lot, and then all of a sudden he wouldn't return my calls, so I thought, okay, he's taking a gig. And it was Denver, and my first thought was, ooh-wee, there's a lot to unwrap with that job. It's not your GM. You got a new owner. O-line's a bit of a mess. Andy Reid, Mahomes in the division. And what do you do with that Russell Wilson deal? Yeah, that's a lot, right? And we know he can coach. 7 division titles, 15 years. Saints were 3-13. Sean arrived. Division titles followed. They were the laughingstock of the league, not for a year, for 39 years. They couldn't win when they had Archie Manning, who was more athletic than Peyton and Eli combined. So now it's 1 year later for Sean Payton, and here's where we're at. $67 million in dead cap money, and the only way they can get a top 2 to 3 quarterback is to give up massive draft capital. That's where they're at. Oh, by the way, Justin Herbert just got Jim Harbaugh. Mahomes still has Andy Reid. This division now looks like it's as good as anything outside of the Raiders. So, you know, it's funny about Sean Payton. There's no question he can coach. But think about the two best job openings. You can usually see what's a really good job opening. In the last, let's say, 8 to 9 years, what have been the two best job openings? Aaron Rodgers in his prime, Matt LaFleur gets it. And then the Cowboys were a really good roster, and Mike McCarthy got it. Well, what did Matt LaFleur do? 13 wins. What did Mike McCarthy do? 12 wins. So you can see what a great job is. That's why everybody, including Vegas, DraftKings, is saying, yeah, the Chargers over-under is about 10.5. They're going to be really good really fast. They got a left tackle. They got a quarterback. They got 2 edge rushers. Right? Like, you can see they got draft picks. You can see the good jobs. This was not a good job. Now, Peyton's brilliant, and the Saints were in much worse shape than Denver. And the dead cap money for the Broncos is only for a year. And they got a few third-round picks and a couple fives. Yeah, they don't have a second-round pick. They got to get another weapon. They don't have enough weapons. Raiders right now have better weapons. They need more weapons. They got to get a quarterback. My take is that Sean is going to go sort of revert back to, after a difficult first year, what worked in New Orleans. Well, what turned it all around was Drew Brees. And the one quarterback in this class that feels like Drew Brees to me is Bo Nix. Little shorter than you'd like. Not a gun, not a howitzer as an arm. Lot of college starts, super productive, won a lot of games, super dedicated, and moves better than people think. So my prediction is Denver will either stay at their spot and get a Bo Nix, maybe a little bit of a reach. Maybe they move up one or two spots to get a J.J. McCarthy. But it does illustrate, once again, it not only is about where do you land as a quarterback, but even as a top coach. If you don't solve the quarterback thing, you're done. And, like, this is a good quarterback draft, and next year's not a good quarterback draft class. So Denver's in a very precarious situation with a great coach who took a difficult job, and this is how hard it is. That Herbert now getting Harbaugh changes everything. That changes everything. I can argue by the end of this year, we'll be saying this division, no division has two better teams at the top than the AFC West with KC and the Chargers. Can't wait for it. My guess is Denver has a couple holes to fill. They got to get an edge rusher. They got to get another weapon. I think they need some depth at corner and running back and safety. I don't see them moving up. And I do think Bo Nix and Michael Penix will both be available. But you can't go too far back because the Raiders are right behind you and they need a quarterback and they may like Bo Nix. So your gut feeling right now, Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, that's what I've heard. What have you heard?
Absolutely. But then you have Drake May, then you have J.J. McCarthy, who, depending on who you talk to, you might get an entirely different answer. McCarthy, the winning pedigree, the upside as an athlete, a former hockey player, the toughness, all he does is win. Two state titles, a national title in high school at IMG, a national title, third winningest college quarterback ever. And then you have Drake May, the upside through the roof.
Big, 6'4". Tall moves.
Yeah, you talked a couple weeks ago, Justin Herbert type of talent.
Yeah.
But a little bit more raw, maybe a little more green. And then Bo Nix, 63 career starts. And then Michael Penix at Indiana, they're horrible, gets them to number 7 in the country, takes Washington to the national championship. Oh, he's 24 years old. Well, so is Bo Nix. Yeah. Brees was 23. Who cares?
Right.
Can you play? Those guys can all play, in my opinion. I think they're all really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nix quite has the same ceiling, but there's a lot of really, there's a lot to be said about a high floor and a guy that can play pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Bo Nix can play first week. There's no question. 61, 62, 63 college starts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
So here we go. Soup to nuts, top to bottom. Let's start in the Eastern Conference. First round, Celtics will take on the Heat of the Bulls. Boston's going to win that series. Listen, they were 41-11 against the East. All right, they're the deepest team in the league. And Miami now, if they win, Jimmy Butler's all banged up. So that'll be a four-game series. Next up, Cavs Magic. Magic can't shoot, meaning if they fall behind in this series, they're in trouble. I'm going to take Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell will be the best player on the floor. And again, Orlando is not built to come from behind. They may be in the Klay Thompson sweepstakes. They're just not built in a playoff series to come back. And you got to be built and be able to win multiple ways. So I'll take Cleveland there. I'm going to take Milwaukee over Indiana in a seven-game series. I think Giannis will be available the final 3 to 4 games. So the Pacers give up points in the paint. Milwaukee is really, really big and really experienced. And remember, Milwaukee was shocked last year early in the first round of the playoffs. So they got a little revenge on their mind. I think it's a very good series. Indiana's a tough matchup. Indiana's going to be a really good team in the East, like OKC in the West going forward. I think they'll lose in seven games because Giannis will return. And when Giannis and Dame are humming, it's the number two duo in the NBA. So I'm in the minority here. I like the Sixers over the Knicks. I think New York is very Jalen Brunson dependent. And right now, the hottest team in the league is Philadelphia. And let's be honest, they were 32-8 when Embiid played. And they have a second star in Maxey. So, I think it's going to be a really good series. But Philadelphia's got more good players. And at the end, they'll have arguably the best player in the series, although Jalen Brunson certainly deserves some discussion. He's a great player now. And, all right, then we go to the next round. I'm going to take Boston over Cleveland. Again, easiest team. They average almost 5 more threes a game than Cleveland. So even if Boston doesn't play particularly well, they shoot the ball well. And in playoff games, that ability on an off quarter or an off half to shoot your way to respectability or back in, that's one of the many things Boston does well, better than Cleveland. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Bucks, Philadelphia. 76ers. Because I think, let's be honest about Milwaukee. They haven't played well since Doc Rivers got there. They're under 500. So they're not humming. I give them the win over Indiana, mostly because of experience and size, but they wouldn't have the big size advantage over Philadelphia. So I think Philadelphia finally, Maxey has become now a legitimate 1A, 2. Tobias Harris, you got little Buddy Hield, Nicholas Batum, got good roster. They're playing well, good roster. And then Boston, I think, extinguishes Philadelphia very quickly. That could be a sweep. I don't think that's particularly a great matchup. And I think I feel pretty strongly about most of those picks. Milwaukee, Indiana. If Giannis doesn't play the first 3 games, then we got a different story. My guess is he is healthy. They sit him for the first game or two. Milwaukee draws a split. They feel good about it and go on to win the last couple of games. All right, we go out west. Thunder and the Pelicans or the Heat. Listen, OKC is going to win this. They're a better team, first of all. And they've beaten those teams, the Kings and the Pelicans, in 4 straight games. So they also have the best player in that series with SGA. So that matters when you get into a series best player, OKC. I'm going to take the Mavericks over the Clippers. We don't know if Kawhi is going to play. And Dallas has really improved defensively. It's not the offense, it's defensively. Also, Dallas has been playing well since the All-Star break. And the Clippers right now have a lot of questions. And they're just kind of a murky team right now. I'm going to take Dallas. T-Wolves, Suns. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Suns. They were 3-0 against the T-Wolves. They match up well. Listen, I get KD and Booker, and Beal has played his best basketball of the season late. Grayson Allen, not that he had a renaissance, but has been better than we all thought off the bench. I think they're going to shoot their way. I like Ant. Ant's not a great shooter. He's a great scorer. So I think the shooting, the perimeter excellence here, they beat him three times this year. I'll go Suns. That's an interesting series. Lakers, Denver. I think the Lakers match up with them, but the best player in the series is going to be Jokic. And who are we kidding here? They were 3-0 against the Lakers. In fact, let me check here. They've won 8 straight against the Lakers. Most of them have been close. But an older Laker team with high altitude? Nope. I'm going to take them in 5, Denver. Let's go back to the top. I'm going to take Dallas over OKC. The reason being, you know, Luka's having his best defensive season. And the Thunder are, they're just too young. Second least experience in the NBA playoffs. Could be a very fun series. I think Indiana in the East and Oklahoma City in the West are going to have a great 6-7 years. I just don't think they're quite ready yet. And outside of the bubble season, young teams can struggle in the playoffs. Suns-Denver is interesting. I think Phoenix can give Denver some issues, and they'll shoot their way to a couple of wins. But in the end, I'm going to take Denver. Best player on the floor is Jokic. But I will say, Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen's emergence makes this really tasty. And remember, the Suns had a very tough late-season schedule, and they aced it. So Phoenix is healthy. Beal's finally playing great. Phoenix-Denver is tasty. That's a 6-gamer, and Phoenix shoots their way to a couple of wins. I'm going to take Denver over Dallas. I just think overall they're the better team. Big argument there. Again, entertaining. I think Phoenix, though, may give Denver more trouble than Dallas because of matchups. And then we have the Nuggets and the Celtics in the finals. The deepest team in Boston. To me, the greatest player in the world in Jokic. I think it is a 6-game series. I'll take Denver. And again, what I'm really interested in, Giannis's health. I think my big takeaways, Philadelphia finally delivers. They got the right coach, Nick Nurse. Embiid is mostly healthy. So Philadelphia, in a really weak middle-down Eastern Conference, finally answers a lot of the critics. They've been playing well. I think Daryl Morey's built a roster with some depth and a second star. I worry about Giannis's health. The Knicks are a better story, in my opinion, than a team. And in the West, Phoenix is the wild card. Grayson Allen, Beal, Booker, Durant. Those guys can all hit a three, and there'll be nights when they're all hitting threes. And if Denver's going to get beat, it's not going to be because a team is necessarily got a better player. It's going to be an onslaught. It's going to be, Phoenix hits 11 of 13 threes. So that's the way to beat. And that's why Boston has a shot against Denver, because Boston can hit threes. They can get hot. So there's my...
Wow.
There's not a lot of gambles here.
Right? No, you were chalk heavy.
But I will say the Phoenix...
You like Phoenix.
Last 9-10 games of the year, look who they played. Good teams, played well. And, you know, when Grayson Allen came over, everybody was like, whatever. That ended up being more substantial than people think.
He got a huge deal, and they put Beal a little bit more at the point, which has helped him. Phoenix is tough.
All right, let's bring him on. Bruce Feldman covers everything except the NBA, and we're done talking it right now. Bruce, it's good as always to see you, buddy. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, college football reporter. So you spend a lot of college football reporters cover the draft, but you have a lot of sources on this, and there's a lot of interesting things here. For instance, we've said from the beginning, J.J. McCarthy, much like Alabama quarterbacks, played with a lead, a great run game, usually the best coach, usually the best roster, outside of an occasional Ohio State or Georgia game, he was playing downhill. I tend to like quarterbacks who either give me huge numbers, like a Burrow at a football factory, or they're overcomers. They carry people. Mahomes or, you know, those kind of guys in college where they're asked to carry people. He didn't really do either. He didn't give me huge numbers, didn't carry anybody. That's what worries me. When you talk to scouts on JJ, what part of his game, Bruce, is under the radar?
The biggest part really is his athleticism. I don't think people give him enough credit for just what a dynamic athlete he is. You would see him make and create and run when they really needed him to. You saw that against Ohio State in some critical situations. You saw it actually in the playoff where he would do some really athletic things. The sample size is much smaller, even though he played a lot of games. You know, you remember he was not in. There's a handful of games in the Big Ten. He was not even in this late in, you know, in the third quarter. He wasn't in the fourth quarter. I just think what you're getting with him, everybody likes him in the interviews. They're impressed by how he conducts himself, how football smart he is. I think there's an aura about him they like. You know, there's, you'll hear some comparisons a little bit like, oh, he's kind of a Brock Purdy kind of quarterback in terms of what they think they're going to see in terms of what he was asked to do. But he, in terms of like, he's much more athletic than Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
So I think those comparisons, I don't think they're spot on. I can see some of the overlay for that. He is a guy from one of the coaches I talked to in the NFL this week who felt like both JJ and Drake May, they were guys who were going to need a little more time.
Yeah.
Especially Drake May, but both of them, you know, they look, and they're both younger players. They're not Michael Penix. They're not Bo Nix, who had been in college football for 6 years and had played a ton. These guys hadn't played that much. And I think that's what's going to be interesting to see, you know, how high he goes and where he goes.
Yeah. We said yesterday if JJ is Kirk Cousins with mobility and inexpensive, that's a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, Kirk is a borderline A. You lack a little bit of juice moving, and he's expensive. That limits the roster. Well, if he's got juice moving, as you say, and he's cheap, that's a pretty good quarterback. For the record, Sam Darnold, probably the starter if they got McCarthy, much like McCarthy, has a little juice athletically. So you'd have kind of quarterbacks who play the same style, so that's interesting.
I think the other part was Sam, and it's good to mention him, was, you know, I think you and I are both very high on him coming out of college.
Yeah.
Really good athlete. I think temperament, leadership was really good. He went into a bad situation, and I think he buckled with that. I mean, yeah. There's the famous clip from
Ghost.
I'm seeing ghosts. Yeah. And I think that's the challenge and the risk with all these young quarterbacks. If they go into a really bad situation, you can ruin them. And I think that's why, you know, it's maybe 50-50 on the quarterbacks who get drafted. I think almost all of them have a lot of talent.
Yes.
It's just, I think people tend to forget Patrick Mahomes, you know, sat for a year behind Alex Smith, who was a guy he could really learn from and learn the right things. And then he's in Andy Reid's system, you know, whereas you go someplace else, you don't have, you're forced to play. Maybe the quarterback room is not very good. There's nobody you can lean on. And then also there's no Andy Reid. You're with a defensive guy or a first-time offensive coordinator. It's a really kind of like fickle dynamic that they're walking into.
So Jaden Daniels, I was told, is Washington, they believe, is the best fit. So Cliff Kingsbury has used quarterbacks who are mobile and accurate. And I like Jaden a lot. I watched him at Arizona State. He was really thin. He's still pretty thin, but he's developed. The numbers are pretty profound. Is there anything? I see a little Lamar. He looks good in the pocket. Brian Kelly can be tough on quarterbacks. He ran through him, but he loves this kid, and this kid just got better. I mean, if you look at the 2 years with Brian, he got better, so he's coachable. Are there any concerns with Jaden? What do the scouts say that you hear?
Scouts really like him. The stuff I heard from coaches especially, it's like, first of all, the Arizona State part, three offensive coordinators in 3 years, that program was in disarray around him. Right. He continued to physically develop. Love how he grew at LSU. You know, he was very good as a transfer his first year. And then he made dramatic improvement as a passer, how he saw the field.
No turnovers.
In 2023. Yeah. You know, there is some Lamar. I mean, he's not as physically strong as Lamar. I think the only hesitation you get on some people is, you know, in terms of outside the number throws, he has a good enough arm. It's not an elite arm.
Yeah.
But he's accurate. He has a work ethic that people love. And then his ability to extend plays. And you see him show up in a lot of big games. You know, you watch what he did against Alabama. You watch what he did, like, and granted, he has two first-round receivers he was throwing to, but he was going up against a lot of big-time athletes.
How about Arizona State against Herbert at Oregon? wild shootout. Yeah. You look like you're watching two first-round quarterbacks years ago.
And he's in a bunch of those, right? And I think that he is a guy, to me, the more people you talk to, the more you're like, oh, there's a lot of people who actually feel more comfortable with him than any quarterback in this draft.
So let's talk about Caleb Williams. He is going to Chicago, obviously. I have, maybe because I know him a little bit and I know a lot of people around him, my take has been the fingernails, the jumping into his mom's arms, some people push back. He's a little cocky with you in the interview. I'm like, first of all, anytime you're the first anything, it's difficult. He's the first NIL superstar.
In a major market.
Let's give him a little pass if he got into his feels a little. I mean, I know at 21, when I got a new pair of shoes, I thought I had game. Okay, kid was making $4 million, more than the assistant coaches. So I just think we, you know, L.A., money, NIL, I can get over fingernails. I think he has a sense of humor. I've talked to him 3 or 4 times. I think he's a bright, quick, funny kid, very confident. Any of that stuff worry even Chicago, though? All the stuff, the peripheral stuff?
I don't know how much it worries Chicago. I know there are people in the draft process who love his talent, but have some concerns about him in terms of, like, you're going into, you know, I just mentioned the Chiefs situation. You know, he gets compared to Patrick Mahomes a lot, fair or unfair. Patrick Mahomes got to be behind Alex Smith for a year and watched him.
Right.
That's not this situation. You have Tyson Bagent and you're going to have Brett Rypien. That's not Alex
and
Smith.
And a defensive coach.
And also, yeah, defensive coach who, you know, is definitely, you know, maybe he'll get another year after this year, but it's not like the ideal situation.
Right.
You have a first-time offensive, you know, a new offensive coordinator who's going in there. Then, on top of that, you know, you don't have the Andy Reid factor of a guy who knows exactly what he's doing,
right,
running an offense and running a team. So I think there's a lot of stuff that's TBD. Now, maybe Keenan Allen becomes the guy he can lean on and say, hey, you're supposed to do it this way. Because, look, he won a Heisman at USC, and he had a great, but, like, this past year was a borderline disaster for USC.
Yeah.
Right? They shouldn't have been that bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think some of the stuff about, okay, you know, is he going to be the team guy? Is he going to listen to the people around him? Who is he listening to? I think those are things that people have legitimate concerns. I don't think it's like, oh, the fingernails or whatever. Like, a lot of that stuff I think is more anecdotal and separate. But I think the bigger things are, you know, how is he going to respond to, you know, real adversity, but also trying to be the face of a team and going into a locker room and, hey, we're all about winning games, not about, you know, all this other stuff that was going on with him at USC.
Is there a player, because none of these quarterbacks are quite ready. I saw a quote yesterday from Bill Belichick. He said the only player he's ever had in his career that was ready week one, year one, was Lawrence Taylor. He said it doesn't.
There's definitely no Lawrence Taylor in this draft. Yeah. This is not a good defensive, you know, front line draft.
Is there a player? I kind of think it's Harrison that's just ready to be productive right away.
Yeah, I think Harrison and Adunze are really polished and character wise really solid. Now, the guy who I've heard the most stuff, so this past, you know, couple of weeks, I've been talking to a lot of NFL position coaches and scouts. The one, because I would have been saying the two of them are the closest thing to can't miss in terms of character. They're really polished. They're both good sized guys. But it's the one who is the wow guy is actually Malik Nabers. I mean, there are NFL receivers coaches I talk to who think Malik Nabers is the number one.
A lot of yards after catch potential.
Just incredibly explosive. Just has this dog mentality. And is so dynamic. And, you know, one of the receivers coaches I talked to 2 days ago said he's the best receiver coming out of college in a long, long time. He said, I would have said since Ja'Marr Chase, and Ja'Marr Chase had great film, I actually think he is more explosive than Ja'Marr Chase. Now, yeah, he's not quite as physically strong,
right,
but he's not that far off it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
You know, it looks like to me it's a quarterback left tackle draft. I think all drafts are now receiver drafts. I just think they all are because...
But this one's much better than the one last year. You had Quentin Johnston, whose hands were spotty. You know, yeah. You didn't have a lot of big guys. This draft is much better than last year receivers.
I don't remember a draft with eight left tackles. Like early, is that the position? Joe Alt, I've been told, I've heard there's a lot of people, Alt doesn't have a huge ceiling, but should be good really quickly. You know, he'll be a two-time Pro Bowler, not Trent Williams. That's what I would heard from an executive in the league. They like Alt. They don't love any of the tackles, but they like about 8 of them to 10 of them. There's a kid at Duke that can go inside, outside. Oregon State kid, yeah. People say is like as good a run blocker, you'll see it tackle. You just won't see him any better anywhere on the planet. Is that the best position in this draft, do you think?
I still think it's receiver because I think you have three elite players at the top of it. You know, Joe Alt to me is maybe in that realm. I don't think he's as far. You know, you can get guys, offensive linemen also, where I think there is, not to the degree of quarterbacks, but there is kind of a boom or bust feel to some of them.
Yeah.
Right? So... You know, you mentioned Oregon State, Troy Fatanu at Washington.
Yep.
Similar kind of player, where really physical. There's coaches in the Pac-12 who actually thought Troy was a little better than Talisi from Oregon State, but they're both, you know, they're bruisers, they're physical guys who I think can play outside, but also if you need them, are good enough to play inside as well, and versatile and smart and tough. There's a couple of, I don't want to say real boom or bust guys, but Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Bill Biedenboe is the old line coach there. He was with Lincoln before. He's an old Leach guy. He has cranked out a lot of star NFL linemen.
Oklahoma's got a lot of linemen.
Guyton might be the most talented guy he's ever worked with, but he's really raw. So you may be getting a couple of years where he's got to work through it. He, you know, he kind of came to offensive line really late. And then you have a guy in Amarius Mims at Georgia, is this enormous guy, you know, 6'8", 340. You know, people worry, I talk to in the NFL, worry a little bit about just in terms of durability when somebody's that big.
Sure.
He's only started 7 or 8 games. But there are a lot of offensive tackles that are interesting. You just don't know, you know, do they go in the 18 to 30 range? You know, Barton from Duke, people like him because he can play so much. I don't think anyone loves him in any one spot.
He can play three spots.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he going to be elite at any of them? I don't know. You know, you have a really good center from Oregon and Jackson's Power Johnson.
Yeah.
Zach Frazier's a really good center that people really like.
West Virginia.
Yeah. So I think it's a good offensive line draft.
Yeah. Finally, Deion Sanders, 14 players leave. I said earlier, transfer portal. 90% of the players that you get or leaving are not foundational. Quarterbacks matter more than any. I don't look at this as he's got a sales pitch. Some kids fall in love with the pitch and move on. What do you make of what's happening to Colorado?
I think it's kind of reflective of a lot of what's going on actually around the country, just to not to the same degree. And I don't want to say this is the exact or this is a CU thing, but I think one thing I'm hearing a lot of in this cycle is you're seeing a lot of kids go back into the portal and after not being in there very long. And what is happening is a lot of players are finding out that the things they're being told they think they're getting aren't exactly what they're getting. They're not getting that much because they may be told, yeah, it's going to be $400,000 or it's going to be $200,000. But it's a car that you're getting a rental. You don't own it. So it's not like you or I could turn around and sell it.
Right.
Right. It's a house you have access to, but you don't own it. So there's some of those things that I think are tough for a lot of the kids to figure out right now. They think they're getting one thing, they're not. There's a lot of times I've heard stories of guys who think they're getting $800,000 or $900,000, they maybe end up with $200,000. So you get some frustration on that end. I don't think this is, you know, in Deion's case at CU, they were so bad when he got there and he made a huge overhaul of the program. And I think a lot of it is now you've had a handful of assistants. Sean Lewis is offense coordinator, is now the head coach at San Diego State. So you've had some people come and go. I suspect, you know, especially with Shador there, they will go as they go into a new league. From one win to 4 wins, at least I think 8. You know, I get it. I think they will be significantly better. I don't know how much better than 8, but you know, I wouldn't. You know, you're going to see a lot of guys, especially with grad transfers, come and go.
Yeah.
And I just think that people are looking for the right fit, and sometimes people are constantly hitting the reset button, like the kid on the video game who doesn't like the start of it, and then all of a sudden, like, let me start that all over again.
good seeing you, buddy, as always.
You
Bruce
too.
Feldman, the Athletic, Fox Sports.
You've upgraded your shooting guard here, I think. I know Jason fancies himself as a shooter.
No, you couldn't have J-Mac and Jordan in the same backcourt. It would be
it would basically be a black hole. It would be no passing, bad shots.
It would be high Kyrie volume. And Kobe White. You'd be fun to watch, but I'm not sure you'd defend anybody.
High volume.
I think there's more Jordan Poole going on here than Kobe
White. Yeah.
Bruce, you're too kind.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.